Hey there, friends. It's Renee here at the Rose Hour Podcast. And today you're in for a treat. We have two dope guests. First up, Kathy Campbell of Aquaquan Fashions and the amazing Julian Fayard of Just Pink Wines. Pew, 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 pew.
Everybody drink rosé. Rosé.
So we sipping rosé.
We're gonna sip rosé. Rosé.
Sipping rosé.
Baby girl, she don't play. Don't play.
So we sipping rosé.
We're gonna sip rosé.
That rosé hour, baby. Sipping rosé.
Everything will be okay.
Hey there, friends. It's Renee here at the Rosé Hour Podcast. And I'm here with...
me, bartender Ben. Yeah.
You guys got a new noise this week.
Hey, you hear that?
Welcome to the Rosé Hour.
Hey, we're definitely here.
You we're
can
here
clearly
all
tell that we have a few glasses in us.
Yes, we have Just Pink Wine, and it is delicious. Julian, he is one of our guests, and he actually talks about like his education of becoming a winemaker, which is kind of cool because, again, I would have never known that you can get a degree in wine.
Anything is possible.
Everything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Well, and it's based out of California, so like a lot of people like in that area, like I think it's like San Jose State or something like that. There's like a whole entire degree program dedicated to it.
Maybe I need to do a career change, man.
I mean, I think we all need a
career
change.
You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and get that wine degree so I can get on this wine.
Yeah, everybody drinks rosé for real, right?
They do.
So just a little bit about Just Pink Wine. They are really, really delicious. It's part of like the Fayard family vineyard, which is out of Napa. And essentially, this amazing rosé, it's just delectable. It's beautiful. It's cute. It does its thing. It's Scrum True Lesson to me.
And it's just pink.
I love that it has gold foil on the wrapper. It's so good. And I love how Julian talks more about it. But you guys will hear more about it. And we also talked to Kathy, who is in Aquaquan, Virginia. Say that three times fast.
Aquaquan.
That was one time.
Aquaquan.
Hey,
I'm a DC native, so I know them weird words.
I was like,
yeah, can't get me. Quantico, Aquaquan.
Yes, I thought it was that. Quantico the first. Like, I don't know why. I didn't read Quantico, but when I was trying to remember what city she was in, I kept saying Quantico because of the TV show. So she's in Aquaquan, Virginia.
They're all near each other.
They're all around each other, and they're great. And she talks about how she got into the fashion industry, and like she owns her own boutique. And it's so cool, and how she does clothes and fashion. So get you some garments with.
Does she do male stuff?
She does not.
All right.
But ladies, hey ladies.
Right, Christmas time is coming up, so.
Right.
You may need a gift for garments. Get you a fine outfit.
For the social distance Christmas parties.
Hey, you know you're going to be in there with some people in there. Everybody be violating this social distance.
Which we got to stop, okay?
Man, they ain't going to stop. Just people, things going to happen the way they are. Just try to be safe as you can. Violating these rules, man. At least,
be safe.
Like, at least pull the mask over your mouth. Damn, just try. Like, just pretend like you're
In the words of a pimp named Cat Williams, don't be sorry, be careful.
You know, just wash your hands at least before you eat. Put your mask on.
Yeah.
Don't stare too close to people. Don't be coughing. If you see somebody coughing too bad, give them a mean look, walk away.
Grilling is okay in the winter.
Ice grill people who be coughing too much, even that you know they got a head cold or something. Grill them anyway. COVID is a real thing.
Right. Because are you sure it's a cold?
Right.
You got to go on home, girl.
Right. So you just look at people who look that are sick. They coughing too much. Stare them down. Wear a mask, half-ass, full-ass, however you want to do it. Make sure it's on your face, kind of. And we're going to have a good time, man. We got to make sure that, you know, we're at least trying to play by the rules.
Right. We want this thing over with because we want to be outside for summer 2021. So let's get these numbers down, people. Let's get the numbers. And speaking of, right, when you were a kid, right, I just think like this time of year, even though I grew up in Chicagoland, right, if it snowed, we still went to school.
Right.
But out here, they don't.
Well, but it depends, though. So there was one event that happened around when I was maybe junior high school.
When 88?
It was close. It was like 92 or some shit. And the blizzard of 92.
Right.
One of those.
Blizzard 94.
But what happened right in the city, normally, you know, we get fair warnings, you know, and they do the proper closures and stuff. So we had this snowstorm during the middle of the school day.
Whoa.
So it happened around maybe like 10 o'clock. But the school system didn't call, like, you know, close schools to tell people to pick up their kids until it was too late. And it was like 3-something foot of snow on the ground. And it was a disaster trying to get people's kids.
And I think that's why DC is like so.
Yeah,
like,
so
are we going to call it off the threat of snow?
Right, because like it was bad. Like, imagine, you know, the traffic.
It was like Atlanta last year, huh?
Yeah, but it was warranted because it was like feet of snow on the ground. So anybody remember that? And then since then, they've been really sensitive to closing schools around, you know,
around
snow here. Events.
Snow spectacles.
Right.
So like, My educational background did not allow for us to have these days. Like, it would have to be like a water pipe bursted and then like froze over and then like iced.
I mean, but also too, your city is better prepared for it. But I mean, also too, DC was kind of, we wouldn't just shut down like that back in the day. When I was in school, it had to be like some real snow on the ground. You had to, you know. So, like, the thing that we used to do as a kid, right, was, like, look out the window, like, and try to guess whether the school would be closed the next day. Like,
watching it on the TV and watching this and listening to the radio.
Well, it just, you know, because usually, like, the snow happens the night before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're the kid, like, looking out the window. You're overhearing your parents saying,
Are they gonna call it?
Yeah, your parents say, like, I don't know if you're going to school tomorrow. You're like, yes. So, you start looking at your video game. You're like, man. Man, this all day tomorrow, out of school, you know, and then sometimes it don't come through.
Yeah.
Or you get like the 2-hour delay. And with the 2-hour delay, why the hell is it a 2-hour delay?
So I just learned about that. So we don't have any, like when I was growing up, we didn't have a 2-hour, 3-hour early dismissal. Like if you were at school and it was snowing, guess what we did at recess? We were outside, and it would be the best snowball fights you've ever seen. Mm. Like, sixth graders taking out third graders. It was amazing. But
yeah.
I know that because, like, my brother was older, and I was a third grader getting taken out by a sixth grader.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it, we had similar memories here in D.C., but I could imagine, like, the snowstorms out there was epic because the amount of snow that y'all get.
Yeah, it's like scary sometimes.
Yeah.
And then when you're not tall enough to be able to look over the snow mountain, it gets scary when you're a kid.
I know they would tan your ass up with that snowball fight.
Man, and I had glasses too. So and I looked like a librarian as a kid.
They were pegging your ass. They would come here.
I was definitely snowball practice ball. People would be like, I want to get target right. There goes Renee.
Oh yeah, man.
I would just be like, glasses flies.
Hey. Speaking of that, right, I got a story that, to me, witnessing this event was one of the funniest things that I've ever seen. So I was stationed in Japan, right? And, you know, at the end of the day, we had these formations where everybody come together, staff and COs, they pass down word, like, what to expect for the next day, you know, what happened that day, blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have our formations at, you know, 1600, 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. And we were waiting, you know, for the formation to start. So a bunch of guys out there. So it was two groups of us throwing footballs back and forth.
Mm.
And, you know, one group throw it to the other group, some other group catch it and then throw it back. So it was this guy. He was from Minnesota. His name was Paul Heyman. Vocal Paul Heyman. He was like, he reminded you of like a cartoon character. Kind of like Dilbert or...
Dilbert,
like, yeah. Kind of like the glasses.
The white shirt, the tie, the skinny tie.
But just imagine that in like khakis, but just the head.
And,
you know?
And like the very like military haircut.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So, Paul Heyman's a really good guy, but kind of slow. Love him. A little slow. So, we're throwing the football back and forth. The crowd parted. Like, you know, one pass back, the crowd parts. And the ball hits this guy square between the fucking eye, like right here. Like his glasses flies and it hit him and he was reactionless.
Whoa.
I've never seen, have you seen the episode of The Simpsons where it was trying to like, they called the dog dub and it was like trying to play games with the dog.
And the dog just sat there with the eyes blinking.
Yeah, and like they hit the dog in the eyes with the frisbee. That's kind of how like this shit looked. It was like literally the ball hits him in the face, his glasses fly, and he just looks around. And, you know, I came with a theme song for Bahamas. He's a man who knows his limits. But every time I think about somebody getting hit in the face, I always think about the story of like Paul Heyman's getting hit with a football, been thrown like maybe over 40 yards away.
Wow.
Hitting him square in the face. Shout out to Paul Heyman. He took it like a champ. You know.
To Paul Heyman.
Shout out to Paul Heyman. I don't know. Every time you talk about getting hit in the face with something, I just really think about that guy. So sometimes, even now, I chuckle thinking about that football hitting him in the face.
It sounds like a Peanuts character commercial.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad. And speaking of which, okay, last question before we get into our first interview. I've been like having nostalgic moments of like watching old TV shows.
Yes.
And like watching a lot of Hulu that has a lot of great old programming. What is one TV show that you want to bring back?
Well, two equally.
Okay.
He-Man, the original. I don't want no 3D rendered bull crap they be trying to do nowadays. It's all jacked up. Bring the original one back. Get the cartoonists to draw the pictures out in G.I. Joe. We need those cartoons back where they giving, you know, kids telling them how to do stuff. Like cross the street, look both ways when you cross the street. Don't talk to strangers. You know, I mean,
I remember one episode. It was like, hey, he was adopted. He didn't look like his parents, but his parents still loved him. And it was like,
right,
you learned a real valuable lesson. It's like, right. I didn't know that.
We need to bring that back. These kids need instructions on how to live. That's why I would choose those cartoons. If you ask me, I'm like, man, some with a message, some with substance. And you really saw good and evil in the cartoon.
Yeah.
You know, so you saw like what made up a good guy versus what made up a bad guy. Like if you look at one of my heroes, supervillain Skeletor, what made him lose was that he was just a shifty dude and there was no loyalty amongst his group. Like for real, like evil, because like evil then for real was like his wife. Let's just be real. They bickered on the show like husband and wife, right?
Oh, yeah, that one episode you showed me where he was like, I gotta take care of her, He-Man. Right. But I'll be back.
Right, you know, because she ain't listening to her husband. You know, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, that's not what we're talking about.
Not what we're talking about. But they're dynamic on the show, right?
Okay.
Well,
you want, this is a real interesting intersection because, like, you gave something that's like, oh, wholesome and like educational and has value for home and family values of the 80s and 90s. The show I want to bring back, okay, there's two as well. Celebrity Deathmatch. Yo, I used to love that thing. It was so much, like, it was like the craziest fight.
You told me with the clay characters?
Oh my God.
That was just come on MTV.
I used to love it.
Now, I liked that back in the day.
It would be cool, like, to see now, like, a Hillary Clinton.
Versus a Donald Trump or something.
Yeah, like, or even, like, something, like, Sasquatch, because they would throw in like a random character and be like, why is this happening?
Like Sasquatch versus Trump, like stuff like that. Biden versus Trump. I mean, definitely.
It would be so much fun. And I think like there'll be a lot of like ways people can see like things that they think in their head.
But the only way that the revival of these shows will work, they gotta look like they did back in the day.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The other show, my dad hates this cartoon, Darkwing Duck.
I don't know why I hate that. Darkwing Duck was that
hates
dude.
Darkwing Duck. Shout out Willie Joe.
Willie Joe, we gotta talk about that over Thanksgiving. I don't know why.
Thanksgiving, I was trying to watch Darkwing Duck in like the family room, and my dad was standing there. He was like, "No!" Like,
some things are scarring for different reasons, man. People be on this planet for a while, and they encounter problems
but
and
do you
triggers.
Remember how he reacted?
I mean, you know it. Hey.
He went so hard.
Hey, what I've learned in my 38 years on this planet is sometimes you just can't question everything.
Oh my God. I was
you
like,
know?
Who hurt you?
Hey. Hey. We getting to that point. We gotta wrap this up. But you know, yeah, it was kind of weird seeing that.
My 80 plus year old father was like, no.
I mean, Darkwing Duck was one of them cartoons that the evening you get off school, you watch Tailspin, Darkwing Duck. What's
when
the other one?
When there's trouble, you can call DW.
Yeah, what's the other one that had with the Scrooge on it?
DuckTales. Woo!
DuckTales, Tailspin, and you had Darkwing Duck. Then after that, you had Ninja Turtles. It was Ninja Turtles. Then the Gargoyles came on after that.
But Tiny Toon Avengers kicked it off.
Right. That was like, if you got you got home from school around about 3:45, you can catch that whole Tiny Toon Adventures. I miss that. I think society needs
TV
that.
Programming for kids.
Right.
That like
and that's not
kids.
Sexy suggestive, not, you know,
adult. Like, it's just kids having
right.
fun, like going on adventures. Like, the Magic School Bus, I'm a little older than that. But, like, I saw how much my niece and nephew liked it. And it was like, I get it. You know, it was like their thing, you know? So, I get it.
Yeah, SpongeBob is, you know, too adult.
Yo, the Krusty Krab Pizza. That's my favorite episode. Okay, well, we got to get to our first interview because we've officially talked about the 90s too much.
Yeah, we got to get this thing going, man. People are like, man, let's fast forward past. We get there rambling to talk about crap. But I think y'all enjoy it. Y'all keep coming back. We appreciate y'all.
We do.
You listening to us. And we got a new program to come out. You heard Renee, she was talking about it. I'm going to be interviewing folks, doing some cool stuff with tours.
Yeah.
We're going to be, you know, going around the vineyards, sipping wine,
looking
being fine.
Fine.
All of that. Yeah.
So join us, and that's on our IGTV Live. So if you don't follow us on Instagram, go ahead and follow, hit that like. Yeah. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button here, too.
Yeah.
So you know when our episodes come out, because we're trying to be a little fun and festive this holiday season.
And we changing it up.
You don't even know when we dropping an episode.
Right.
We just going to be like, boom.
Right. We got a whole new website, fresh new site coming up. It's coming soon.
Yes. Fresh,
so,
dressed like,
you know,
$1 million.
Right. So top of the year, we're going to have some cool stuff going for you. We're working through it right now. You know, as the holiday approaches, we're going to be doing holiday stuff. But we're getting some stuff ready for you for next year. So after COVID, we're going to really get on y'all.
Season 2 coming for you.
Boom.
All right. Well, let's get into our first interview with Kathy of Occoquan Fashion. Yes. Hey there, friends. It's me, Renee Johnson, here at the Rosé Hour Podcast. And today, we are so excited because she is giving you everything you want in your life in fashion. If you like jewels, if you like prints, if you like to be spicy, warm, cool, whatever it is, she's got it for you. Located in Occoquan, Virginia, she was voted Best of Virginia in 2019 with a women's boutique featuring unique fashion and fabulous customer service. The owner, founder, and creator of Details of Occoquan, the Kathy Campbell.
Hey, Renee. Here I am.
Yay, Kathy. You're here. Yay. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, well, we're just so excited to learn more about you because you were voted Best of Virginia in 2019 for your boutique. You have amazing garments and fashion and jewels and everything. I mean, I just am like, I want to take everything out of your Instagram photos and put it on my body because it's so fashionable. I love it.
Awesome. I can fix you up.
Yes, let's do it. But like, how did you started into the retail industry?
You know, as a kid, I played my mother's sewing machine. Aww. And in the beginning, I thought I was going to be a designer. So I kind of was doing that. And then I got into high school and thought, I have to be something. So I did college prep. I was going to be a nurse. I was accepted to nursing school. And then out of the blue, I got this little teeny tiny retail scholarship for, I think it was like $350. And it was like, oh, that's what I'm doing. So big left turn. I wound up at Davenport College in fashion merchandising, retail management. My parents were totally dismayed, like, oh my God, what are you doing? I graduated from there, wound up with Gantos, went back to Muskegon with them, where I'm from, took that little store, and as I guess I was 24 maybe, and the store manager had been there forever and was older, but just not excited about anything. Mm. And during high school, at the very end, I actually went to work for Gantos part-time. Nobody explained to me how it worked. I was working on commission, so I was bringing home these gigantic paychecks. Like, ooh, how did I do this? Well, I was working on commission and really not knowing what I was doing, I was just dressing people the way they wanted to be dressed. And I didn't want them to leave without the whole thing. So that led me to the management training program. That led me to my first store. Then I went to, I opened Spring Hill Mall in Crystal Lake, Illinois.
Oh.
Just north of Elgin.
Yeah, I know exactly where that is.
Yes, yes. And then I was transferred. You're going to move to Washington, D.C. to take Fair Oaks Mall because it's a mess, and you're going to do it in the next 2 weeks, and that's 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. So if you don't do it, you will never go anywhere.
What?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So I packed up and moved and just kind of lived in a hotel for a couple months. Went to Fair Oaks, kind of, you know, smoothed things out. I like to make people be part of the family. So we created this little family and everybody kind of jived and it came together. We did very, very well. I left, gosh, when did I leave there? I was there for about 4 years. Things just kind of fell apart and I needed to move on and be out of corporate. Mm-hmm. And I kind of bounced around place to place, wound up with the Gap for a little while, took another left turn and wound up in travel.
Ooh.
Did travel for 95 to 2003. But it was the same thing, you know, listening to people, putting them in the right place. You know, when someone came in to book a cruise, just like to buy something, you don't sell them the Escort first.
Right.
You do the Maxus Mercedes, or you do the big Lexus, or you do the Bugatti.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You can take them down to the Ford Escort because you can always go down, you can't.
That's right.
And you have to make them feel like, of course you can afford that. And if they can't tell you, and that's fine, but don't insult them and say, oh, all you can drive is the Ford Escort. Well, I might look like that's all I can drive, but, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been, that was my success in travel. And I left for, I had a baby. I wanted to stay home for a little bit. So I found this little store in Occoquan. And I started shopping and spending way too much money. And I thought, well, I should ask her if I could work part-time. I could run circles around these people.
Ooh,
and
I love that.
She said no. And I was pretty persistent. She kept saying, no, I'm good. Like, no, you're not. And one day she said, yes, I need you. So I started the next week. And suddenly we were doing, from $100 a day, we were doing $500 and $600 a day because
wow.
I actually talked to the people and we actually went to the fitting room and we actually added on and we actually put it together for them. So suddenly she went from about $250,000 a year to like $3.5 million. So we picked up probably $100,000 in a year.
Wow.
And she came to me one day and said, you know, I'm thinking of selling and I'd like to sell to you. Well, that was the furthest thing from my my mind. And I said yes, and here I am. And that was in 2007. So I've been here all those years. We've grown. We have just a little tiny old house in Occoquan. It looks like somebody's home, so a lot of times people have no idea what we are. It's green. It's got a front porch. We hang all kinds of stuff. Or in the other day, olden days, before COVID, we'd have mannequins out there. We had stuff hanging out there, hoping people would see something. We do create a lot of traffic jams on occasion at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
As people are driving through looking at what's on the door or what was on the mannequins. And that's basically how we got people in the door that didn't know about us. We do a lot of word of mouth, tons and tons of referrals. And now, because of COVID, we're live. We do Facebook Lives twice a week, Wednesday morning at 10, Friday night at 6. We post regularly on Facebook. We have a private page that we encourage people to join because we'll do some really fun things with them.
Ooh.
We post on Instagram. We post on Yelp. We post on Google. And always try and make it interesting and fun. And we use real people. We don't use people that... We want you to relate to who we're dressing.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be a size 2. You know, it's great if you're a size 2, but most of us are size 12, size 14.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are tall, some of us are short. And we want you to feel like, yes, we relate. We could go there and you could dress me to go to wherever. You know, we've dressed people to go to the White House. We've dressed people to go to opening New York. We've dressed people to meet with senators and presidents. And then we've dressed people to go to funerals and we've dressed their moms to be buried. So, you know, we really touch people's hearts, I think. So,
wow.
Here we are, 8 months into COVID, trying to figure it all out. Things have been very challenging. Because we are so small, in the beginning, we were by appointment only. A lot of our gals are a little bit older, and honestly, this is the only place they've been.
Wow.
So many of them feel comfortable enough to come here. We all wear our masks. We all sanitize our hands. And they'll come in and say, this is the only place that I'm comfortable coming. So the door remains closed. If you have an appointment, you are the only person in the store. You get one-on-one. Exceptional service. It's a great experience because we are totally focused on you. We're not focused on who's walking through the door. It's phone rings, the phone rings. We want you to have the very best experience and feel great about what you're purchasing, whether you're spending $1,000 or $25. We want you to be really, really so happy with what you're purchasing. We're kind of opening the door just a little bit. If there's no one in the store, you can knock, you can come in. We want you to do that, but at the same time, the person with the appointment gets preferential treatment. It's only fair. You know, you make an appointment for your nails. You make an appointment to get your hair done.
Yeah.
Why can't you make an appointment to shop and get a really great experience versus a halfway experience? You don't get to see most of what we have. We know where it is. We know how it fits. And we know how great it's going to look on you. So that's really our big MO here. So.
Oh, I love it.
So that's me, Renee.
Well, to have a personal shopping experience, I think many people have never had. And, you know, you go to Macy's, you go to Lord & Taylor, you go to Saks. It's not personal, you know. And, God only knows how many other people have touched that same garment you're touching. And
exactly.
Now COVID is teaching us that. To have that personal touch that your store has, it's just awesome, right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing we do is whatever is tried on, you can try on anything you want to try on and as much as you want. We put it aside, we steam everything, it kind of sits for a little bit because usually we're a little busier than, you know, able to steam it and put it right back out. So you can be assured that if somebody tried something on, we're still going to steam it. It's going to be fresh for you. And really, the whole world isn't trying stuff on. So we let you do that. I think a lot of department stores are not doing that at mm-hmm. this time. And we let you do that. So people will come in and say, oh, can we try that on? Of course you can. How can you buy something and not try it on?
Exactly.
You
know,
it's crazy.
Well, and especially you know, I've gained the COVID-15. I lost the COVID-15, then gained it back again because we've been in quarantine for so long. I don't even know what size I am anymore. So a personal experience would probably be best. So to all those out there, definitely think through that.
Well, and it's true. And you know what? If you have gained that COVID-15, it's okay because everybody has.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay. We can make you still look phenomenal. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And
you know,
nobody,
what's wrong with 15 pounds, right? What's wrong?
Well, exactly. And who's going to look in your top and say, oh my God, you're wearing a size 14. I can't believe that. Who cares?
Who cares? If it looks good, honey, who cares?
Exactly.
I agree. It could be a size 24. If it looks good, honey.
Yep.
Who cares?
Yep. Yep. That's it. It's totally it. So during this whole crazy time, we've talked about doing a website for years and years and years. This forced us to get creative. I am not a tech queen by any stretch of the imagination. but I've learned a lot since March the 13th or 14th or whatever day.
Yeah.
We do have a website. We work on it all the time. So for people that don't want to come or haven't been or kind of hesitate a little bit, you can always go to the website. You can look at the website. You can call us and we'll talk you through anything. The phone is always available. I would rather talk someone through something and figure out exactly what it is than mm-hmm. have somebody buy a bunch of stuff and have to return it because it just wasn't right.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of people that amazingly, this really blew my mind. Two or three of them I hadn't seen and all of a sudden they kind of popped up on a FaceTime Live, or not a FaceTime, a Facebook Live. And one of them in particular said, I'm at my lake house in Alabama. And I said, oh, great. And she, again, on the next one said, I'd like to buy that. So I called her and I said, So are you home yet? And she said, well, we are home. And I said, what do you mean? She said, she laughed and said, well,
funny story is, you know,
during this whole thing, someone offered us like a number we couldn't refuse on our home. We have this lake house in Alabama, packed everything up. We're able to work from home. So we moved. But I'm still your customer. So I've been sending her thing. And what I'll do, if I know who you are, I'm going to send you the small and the medium. I'm going to send you the medium and the large. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to send you the large and the extra large and say, you try it on, you figure it out, you send back what, you know, what doesn't work. I have another one who moved to Suffolk. We do that with her all the time.
Wow.
You know, it's kind of your own personal Stitch Fix. But yeah. we know you a little bit better than Stitch Fix. So we're doing that.
Because you actually know them.
And the other thing we're trying, this is something brand spanking new. We're trying a subscription box. Ooh. And in the box, we will put together, we have Pamper Me. I love clothes. I love accessories. And warm and cozy. So you pick a bag. And we put it together for you. Every bag is going to be different. It will never be a bunch of junk that you don't want. It's going to be only the best because that's all we offer is the best. And we're doing $9.95 and we will ship it to you. You can pick it up. So again, you know, for people that are kind of a little freaked out over the COVID thing and, you know, it is rearing its ugly head again. We feel like we have the solution for you. We can do your holiday shopping for you. Aww. We will wrap it for you. And all you have to do is drive up. We'll put it in your trunk and you're good to go. So,
I mean, this is better than curbside cupcake. I mean.
Well, I don't know. Curbside cupcake. The only thing better than that would be curbside wine.
Now that I can get behind. That's our next venture together, Kathy.
There you go.
So, Kathy,
I could sell wine right now, I'd be a millionaire.
Oh, my God. Yes. The wine industry is booming. We got to figure that out. We're going to talk after this.
All right.
So, Kathy, how can people connect with you and follow you and learn more or make purchases through your store?
Through Facebook. We have a very active Facebook page. It's Details of Occoquan. We do have the private group that if you go to Details Addiction, all you have to do is request to join and we'll add you into the group. We are on Instagram. We have not yet figured out how to sell on Instagram because I'm still using the chisel and the and the tablet. But you could purchase on Facebook, or again, we do have the website. It's www.detailsofoccoquan.com. You can always call us, if someone is going somewhere and just doesn't know where to start, or if you're looking for a particular item, we will go above and beyond to find that item for you. We do sizes 0 to, we can find you a 24 if you need it.
Yes.
You know, we're just really, I really want to be here. I really want to offer service to people that is beyond. It's all about service. What comes around goes around. If we're good to you, you'll be good to us.
Mm-hmm.
You'll refer us. And things are pretty scary right now. So, you know, any little purchase possible will help us, to get and be here in the year 2021.
Yes. And we here at the Rosie Arrow Podcast support small businesses. So you guys definitely support the small business. We are here for it. We want to make sure small business owners are able to still thrive. We don't want to let COVID stop the economy. Regardless of who, what, when, or what is president, we want our economy to thrive because we want people to thrive. So support. And we thank you, Kathy, for all you are doing because you are so amazing. God, I just adore you, Kathy.
Thank you, Renee. Thank you.
So I have to ask you this last question because you know, we already talked about the fact that we love wine and we need to go into a venture together. But like, want to know what's your favorite rosé?
Well, my favorite rosé is Casera. It's a Lebanese rosé. And it is because I support another small business, and we've actually done a couple of lives together. It's Layla's Lebanese Restaurant in Lake Ridge, Virginia. Beautiful family, the Shabbat. You know, another small business that's struggling to maintain its restaurant. They weren't able to get outdoor seating. So whenever I can go on Wine Down Wednesday, I get a bottle of the Casera. And have my Lebanese food and just enjoy.
Oh, cool. What's the name of it one more time?
Layla's Lebanese Restaurant.
All right. So those in Virginia, definitely reach out to Layla's and get you some rosé. Kathy recommends it. It's delicious. You won't go wrong because she also is fashionable. So if you know fashion, you definitely know wine.
Yes, I do.
Yes. Well, Kathy, we want to say thank you so much for spending some time with us. And we'll love to do like a live with you and like a tour of your store or something. Like that'll be so much fun. So people could see the store and do a walkthrough, you know, virtually. Because like, I think that's something that we, you know, we need now. I know I see a lot of lives of people having conversations with people, but I think we should like show the establishment. Like, let's see. Show us the showroom.
There you go. We can do a FaceTime with you, and we'll probably do a Facebook Live and just do a tour.
Yeah, let's do it.
And that way you'll know what we're all about.
So. All right, guys. So look forward to that. Details coming soon. You heard it here first from Kathy and Renee. We're going to the lives. We're going to put this out there so you can see the amazing fashion that she has at her store so that you guys can start calling, emailing, texting, and going to her store by scheduling appointments because we want to socially distance and getting you some great fashion for 2021 because a vaccine will be out and you need to be outside with that vaccine. Boom.
Yes.
Positive thinking. All right, Kathy. Well, thank you again so much for joining us today. Cheers.
Cheers, Renee. Thank you so much.
Yay!
Bye!
Wow, thank you, Kathy, for such a great interview. And I cannot wait to socially distance and come to your store and get some gorgeous garments. And everyone should visit Kathy because she does it right and you gonna look right. So check her out. Go to her Instagram and website and make an appointment today. We're gonna take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're gonna talk to Julian, the winemaker, founder of Just Pink Wines. Yay! Friends, it's Renee here at the Rosé Hour Podcast, and today you are in for a great treat. He has a wine that is pink. It is fabulous. It's the prettiest of all the pinks, and guess what the name of it is? Just Pink! The winemaker himself, Julian! Woo! Hi, Julian!
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you as well. I am just like, we were just talking before we actually started interviewing everyone. And he was telling me about the wildfires out in California. So how are you holding up?
It's been nasty.
Yeah.
You know, we I think 2020, I was like, oh, maybe we'll have make good wines. I'll be kind of the Solasimo that will sing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shit show showed up. Like, can we say that?
Yeah, we can say that. It is a shit show. This is 2020 has been the ultimate shit show extravaganza.
Yeah, so it's very consistent with itself.
Yeah.
But basically, there is one big cloud that starts at the Oregon border and goes all the way through Nevada almost.
Wow.
And it's thick. It's unbearable. It's just not good. So
yeah.
we haven't started harvesting, so we're going to spend a lot of time making sure there is no impact on the quality and then start crushing slowly. And drink in the meantime.
Yeah, I mean, you got to drink as much as possible during these daunting times. It's really scary. Yeah.
Alcohol helps.
It does, just a little bit. Every little bit counts. So, Julian, how did you actually become a winemaker? Like, that's not just a profession that people just start, you know? Like, how did you get into the yeah. wine industry?
Yeah, the wine business is weird in that sense. Is you don't... Well, I think the people that persevere in the wine business, it's a passion. Because it's pretty violent. It's not friendly. Mm-hmm. It's very romantic. And so you come there and then you start by cleaning the winery and, you know, handle the weather with the crop and work the vineyards. In France, you start in the vineyard. Usually you don't start in the winery. And so it's rough. It's a rough upbringing in a profession that is very agricultural.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle started a winery in the 70s, and that's how I got exposed to the wine business early on. And being young and, you know, full of dreams and very hopeful for the future, I was like, this sucks. I don't want to be here. There must be something better. You know, you always yeah. look for the silver bullet, the stuff that is going to make you retire quick and easy.
Yeah.
And then, and after a while, I was, you know, 14, 15. I was working on the bottling line a little bit on weekends and holidays. And then I started to crush and study wine. And I was along with my cousin. We're 6 months apart. We're really tight. And he was working for the family business too. So that was a good cohesion. And after, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 years of that, I had a better track record or experience than the average student in the wine. So I was getting really good jobs, and that's how I ended up at Chateau Lafite. That's how I ended up with Philippe Meltier, which is a staple here from Napa Valley. And so I decided to focus and say, you're starting to be good at this. And, you know, listening to people that give you advice is like, you need to focus, you know, just can't do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You can try a lot of things. It's good. Be curious, but focus. And so the focus was, let's make great wines. And, you know, I'm in Napa. So that's a good ground. We have beautiful Sonoma Valley next to us. We have all the Sierra foothills and ton of discovery up there. For new grounds for wine that have been developed, but not fully. I think their potential is not there yet.
Yeah.
And we, our generation is benefiting from the people that really started, you know, 30, 40 years and put the first vines in and get something. And then now we can refine it. We can further it. So it's really cool. And the same is happening in Napa, but it's been, you know, so much bigger. So that's when I started to make rosé, I met a friend and he brought me up there and brought me some fruit, and that was the best of all the batches that I did from different AVAs. And that's how we selected the fruit, Grenache, Syrah, a little bit of Pinot from the mountains. And what's interesting is the soil, a little reminiscent of Provence.
Oh.
And there is a schist, and the stone nature of the stones is similar to Provence, plus there is a warm climate. So that's how we came up with this.
With Just Pink, the most amazing rosé ever.
It's easy to open. That's why we put a screw cap, so you don't have to worry about it. Crack it.
Yes. I love the idea of a screw cap, because I sometimes lose my bottle openers, or like they break on a cork or something. Twist caps are the best.
But it was something, I mean, I'm very serious about rosé, and what's inside the bottle is something that I'm serious about. But the reason I call it just pink, because sometimes we make a lot of fuss about wine. Sometimes you just want to drink and kick back and forget about it.
Yeah,
and
you just want to get to the cause. What are you doing? We're drinking. We're drinking just pink.
And so that's where we're like, you crack it open. You don't need any tools. It's 12.5% alcohol, so it's very medium. Yep, you can start the second bottle and still standing. And that's what's important. For me, it's like when you realize the bottle is empty and you're like, shit, I need another one.
Yeah.
That's good. That means it's doing its job.
Oh, you guys did a good job on that.
Thank you. There is wines that you want to spend time, you know, discerning and sifting and decanting. And there's wines you just want to drink.
Yeah.
Vin de soif, as we say in French. the wines for the thirst.
Yes.
And I wanted to be a little more light and relaxed about it and just, yeah, chill.
Yeah.
It's just pink.
It is just pink. And like, how did you get, like, you know, I've talked to a few rosé makers and they're like, oh, the color was off. We tried to do a few things and it just didn't work. How did you get it to that sort of like, I won't call it golden, but like a rosé gold color? How did you?
Yeah, super light, super bright.
Yeah. Salmon, how did you land on that color?
Salmon hue or rose petal. So it's very short skin contact and it's also the right ripeness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the process, we pick at night and we go really fast to the press and then we press it, you know, very quick. So the timing of all the elements is very precise. And that's really when you make or you break your color. So that's what I'm saying. I'm like, when it's about what's inside the bottle, I've become very, very dedicated to it. Like people don't need to know all that.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, but I mean, and sometimes it's like, how is it so light? I'm like, it's just pink.
Yeah. Read the label. No, and it's so amazing because it is light. It is very like easy to drink. You know, sometimes, you know, you find a wine and you're like, I like the taste, but it's too much of a journey to get me to where I'm going. And like, there's no detours with just pink. You are going to get there.
Well, and for the rosé, I mean, it's always, for me, it's the same. It's like, can you, when you have a light color, you're going to have something fresh and like easy and almost like a pool.
Mm-hmm.
Throw some ice cubes in it, chill. And then if you get a little more red, a little more dark, then you're going to have something with a little more texture. Like you might want to have a little bit of barbecue with it or like eat something, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so it's the color commands the taste. And that's why I grew up in Provence, so I'm skewed towards light and pink.
Yeah.
Light
pink. So what was it like growing up there? And like, I know the drinking age is quite different than in the U.S. So how was it growing up there and then coming to the U.S. and being a wine drinker?
It's good life.
I bet. I mean, you guys really enjoy a good wine.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like it's part of every day. Like you have a business lunch and you have a bottle of rosé for lunch. You go to the beach. You know, I mean, it's interesting because when I started studying a little more seriously, I went in the north and France and the guys had beers. And I knew what beer was, but I never drank beer. Like when I go out, I would not order a beer.
I would
order wine. And it was an interesting, and also because I think I was in the wine business so early, you start drinking, like we will just do dinner with a couple of friends, sit down and have two or three bottles of wine each.
Wow. And, you know, I like how you put that, each.
No, but I mean, I will call it two bottles in bed, you know, it's like, but I mean, beer, you never even like bought beer for guests or anything, you just open wine.
Yeah.
And so I I'm discovering beer, especially living it now, and you know what's happening in the U.S. with beer. It's pretty amazing. I'm not discarding that. It's just yeah, it was not part of my radar at all. And so I think, yeah, it's good memories. It's just, and it builds a culture, because there is one thing, if you want to be, you know, some people, you know, people are like so careful in front of wine, you know, they don't know what to say. It's like, I mean, first, you like it or not. It's,
yeah,
I don't care how much educated you are, and it's like, you like it, you let, you don't like it, we'll find something else.
Yeah.
And then, you just need to drink many different ones, and you need to spend time just discovering, you know, be curious and be open, and then like go figure out what you like and what you don't. After a while, it'll sink in.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. Even after a very long night drinking wines around the table, you remember what you like and what you didn't.
That's very true. It's very true. No matter what your state is, you're like, I don't like that, but I love this.
Yes. And that's very, because it's very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you memorize emotion very well as a human being. And so that's a cool part of the wine business. It's like, yeah, I just get to be studious about it.
Yeah.
Open bottles.
So, if you were like teaching someone about rosé, what's one thing you will tell them that they ought to know about rosé? I know, hard question.
No. I mean, there's so many things to do. So, don't be discouraged by the price. That's mm-hmm. one thing. Like, an expensive rosé is still way cheaper than a cabernet.
Yeah.
So the three, you know, the eight extra bucks you're going to put in that bottle of wine, it's going to gain you a lot of mileage in terms of quality.
Yeah.
So if there's one tip, is like, don't cheapen on it, or you're going to get the cheap stuff. So basically between the cheap rosé and the expensive rosé, the gap is very small.
Yeah.
If you get a $20 cab and a $200 cab, you got to invest a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, between a $15 or $12 rosé and a $25 rosé, you gain so much there. So do that. And then buy as much as you can.
Yeah. And also buy just pink.
Yes. But I'm for everyone on the shelf. It's, yes. I mean, you got to pray for your own brand. But it's like, the more there is,
yeah,
and the more diversity there is,
oh yes,
the better. You know, when rosé really started here in like 2006, there was like two or three bottles on the shelf, and I was like, we need to have more rosé on the shelf, because then otherwise people walk by and they don't even pay attention to it. When you start to have like 10, 15 labels, and people are like, oh, there's a section here, and that's good enough that it creates a spark and interest, and so that's cool. So I welcome it all. It's like, yeah, help me a little bit, that helps pay the bills, and
it's cool. Gotta pay those bills. Yes.
Yeah. But buy a bunch and share it with your friends, and then make them do the same. I think it's the coolest part. This is what wine, rosé is very versatile for, that, but it's what it's about. It's good company. You know, I watch a little bit of your podcast, and then you guys are just chilling, drinking, and just, you know, having fun.
Enjoying.
And, yeah. And you have a natural happiness, but it enhances it. And you're like, ooh, what's in there?
Oh, yeah. You're very right about that. It enhances. Well, I have two questions for you. As we wrap up, and my first is, how can people connect with you, follow you guys, and also buy some Just Wine?
So we have,
Just Pink.
Pink, yeah, it's just wine.
It's just wine. I mean, that's what I tell people. It's just wine. Just drink it.
I'm just drunk. But we have an option in when you check out on the website. It's called Just In Case. And it's a case of rosé, basically. That's good. So you have it's justpinkwine.com. And then we have the handle on Instagram, I think, is justpinkwine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can follow us. You can see on the website. We ship. We have a flat fee shipping all over the United States. It's a really good deal. Especially if you live on the East Coast.
Yes.
Summer is not gone, so hurry up. We're starting to distribute a little bit in Florida too. So we're following the heat right now.
Yes.
And it's really cool. So that's the two main places. We are mostly direct and we do a little bit of distribution. Right now it's California, Florida.
Wow. And great states to be just pinking in.
Yes.
So my last question, I ask everybody this. What's your favorite rosé?
My favorite rosé? Well, I mean, I grew up in Provence.
Mm.
So I have a little bit
This is hard.
Yeah, I have a little bit of, you know, an emotional attachment to my origins. And I think that's for me, the quality and the standard. But, you know, we're pushing the boundaries in California. You know what's funny is French people come here and they're like, oh, let's go eat some burgers. It's America. Great. And I'm like, yeah, why don't we try the cheese here? And then here's some bread and then some wine. And they're like, oh, that's good. So you go eat out in the restaurants. Oh, it's really good. And, you know, it's modern. I mean, we were lucky in the Bay Area is a pretty special niche.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows that the U.S., I like to say, America always ate bread, but they used to be Wonder Bread, and now it's baguette. It used to be cheddar, and now you have goat cheese and even the beer. I mean, like all the hop movement in the beer.
Yeah, the hops are huge.
It's due to the fact that people eat less sweet, so they handle the hop, they handle the freshness, that bitterness, and stuff like that. And rosé. Your grandma had this in her fridge.
Yeah.
But it used to be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's dry.
Yeah.
And we love it. And what White Zinfandel did is huge because this is a category that is just reinventing itself. So I like them all because they're good.
I love that answer. Julian, we really, really, really appreciate you. You have to come back on. You know, we have a virtual happy hour. Love for you to be on that too and walk people through a tasting sometime soon. So we know there's more to come than just pink.
You know where to find me.
Yes, we know where you at. Well, Julian, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
My pleasure. You take care.
Cheers. Thanks, Julian. Oh my gosh, I just love Just Pink. And also learning more about, you know, how you got started in this wine industry, because there's a lot of people who did not know that you can get education in it, me being one. So thank you so much for teaching us and for your amazing Just Pink Rosé. Because everybody says rosé. Yay! Wanted to thank both of our guests, Julian and Kathy, for being on the show today. We want to thank all of you listening. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, tell a friend, and also stay tuned. Bartender Ben has this series on Instagram Live where he does tours with amazing people. So you don't want to miss out. Stay tuned and see more. We're going to be back next week with two more dope guests. So don't forget, check us out here at the Rosé Hour podcast. Yeah.